Thank you. McNeff's Ghosts here on KPR with John Boyd and the Philharmonia of Venn. We heard A Haunting, The Grey Lady, The Dog of Godley, A Girl in a Tower, A Blackpool Tram, A Polish Sailor, Holy Moly. Very interesting music if you want to check out the score on it. I happen to think it's quite nice for Halloween. It's that time of year, which means Big Band Christmas is just around the corner. Oh man, I know, Halloween, Christmas. But our Big Band Christmas is amazing. It's Saturday night, December 14th, and it's just a great night of swing. I really hope we can see you there. It's at Liberty Hall in downtown Lawrence, and the box office at Liberty Hall has tickets on sale, as well as Ticketmaster.com. Get the scoop at KansasPublicRadio.org. At around 7:40, a delightful piano concerto for you. But right now, something about Don Giovanni. Yes, indeed. It's not by Mozart, though. No, it's by Carl Joachim Andersen, and it's a fantasy on Don Giovanni. So I hope you enjoy it. It's with Kylie Zappo on flute and Matthew Mazzoni on piano right now on KPR. On this day in 1787, Mozart's Don Giovanni made its appearance. Here on KPR, we just heard Carl Joachim Andersen's Fantasy on Don Giovanni. Very interesting indeed. That was with Matthew Mazzoni on piano and Kylie Zappo on flute. I love finding these little gems and hearing how other composers, well, basically take great tunes and do their own thing with it. A piano concerto coming right up for you. I'd like to thank a couple of our superb sponsors here at KPR. Bert and Ash, offering a wide range of services for youth and their families, including therapy, parent support, and case management. More information at bertnash.org. And the Topeka Symphony, presenting Puttin' on the Ritz with Rimsky-Korsakov's Procession of the Nobles and Grieg's Piano Concerto, performed by Chaeyoung Park on Saturday. Tickets at topekasymphony.org. And speaking of piano concertos, we are going to listen to one right now by Franz Liszt. I hope you enjoy it. Ozawa's conducting the Boston Symphony Orchestra, and it's Christian Zimmermann on piano, right now on KPR.
Thank you.
Ozawa conducting the Boston Symphony Orchestra with Zimmermann playing the piano, Franz Liszt's Piano Concerto No. 1 here on KPR. I love the opening of that. It's so dramatic and foreboding. What a great concerto. Can you imagine what it must have been like to be a composer writing all of this music during that time? I mean, they didn't have cell phones, they didn't have the internet, they didn't have television. No wonder they could write music. No wonder I can't write music. I'm distracted by everything. Next hour, I've got some neat things for you. Actually, something really funny called a schoolmaster. Has to do with a schoolmaster because one of you dear listeners called me a schoolmaster in a very positive way at Friday's Live Day. So I found this and thought of you. This is for all of you. I hope you had a great hour. Come back next hour for more music after NPR News on KPR.
At Morning Edition from NPR News, we bring you the latest on everything from the presidential race to what interest rates are doing. But we also share stories that take us into other people's lives.
You actually played your horn while they were inside your skull.
Absolutely. Doesn't everybody?
Listen for the unexpected with the news weekdays on Morning Edition.
Morning Edition is here for you weekdays on KPR from 5 to 9 a.m. It's Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas. We are KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, 91.3, and KANQ Chanute at 90.3. Listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio. Support for classical music on KPR comes from the Green Lady Lounge, offering live Kansas City jazz music 365 days a year, cocktails, wine, and beer. More information at greenladylounge.com.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Speer. Puerto Rico has become a frequent talking point in the final week of the presidential campaign after a comedian at former President Trump's rally in New York referred to the island as, quote, garbage. An event in Maryland, President Biden today seemed to weigh in with his response. Here's NPR's Deepa Chevron.
Speaking at the Port of Baltimore, Biden highlighted his administration's work on infrastructure and said they've been able to help dozens of states and Puerto Rico, a U.S. territory. That line drew applause from the crowd. It comes as Vice President Harris has been upping her outreach to Puerto Rican voters, especially in the swing state of Pennsylvania. Her campaign has also been highlighting some statements of support that came in this week, including from Bad Bunny and Jennifer Lopez, and from the editorial board of Puerto Rico's largest newspaper, El Nuevo Día, which has now formally endorsed Harris. Deepa Shivaram, NPR News, Washington.
Campaigning in Allentown, Pennsylvania, a town with a large Puerto Rican population, former President Trump continued to paint a far different picture of this past weekend's rally at Madison Square Garden. Trump has repeatedly referred to the event as a love fest, and he returned to some of the themes that have defined his campaign today.
With your help, 1 week from today, we're going to defeat Kamala Harris and the media. And we're going to win back that beautiful, beautiful White House, and we're going to make America great again.
Trump continued to take aim at Harris, accusing her of trying to destroy the country. Talking about a major campaign rally she held on the Ellipse tonight, Trump accused her of busing in people to boost the crowd numbers. Google's parent company Alphabet is reporting stronger than expected earnings for its most recent quarter. As NPR's Bobby Allen explains, the tech giant says cloud computing services were up 35% from last year thanks to the AI boom.
Entire industries adding artificial intelligence services has meant big bucks to Google. Google brought in $11 billion in 3 months by selling what's known as compute to companies that need to power energy-intensive AI tools. Most of the money Google makes is still from search ads, but Amazon, TikTok, and other rivals are snacking off that plate, gobbling up a greater share of digital advertising. Inside Google, executives say the AI revolution is easy to spot. CEO Sundar Pichai says now more than 25% of all new software code at Google is generated by AI. But he says it's reviewed and vetted by human engineers before it is added to software products. Bobby Allen, NPR News.
U.S. companies reporting out fewer help wanted signs last month, and a sign the labor market is cooling a bit heading into the fall. Labor Department reported the number of job openings in September fell to 7.4 million, down from 7.9 million in August. A mixed close on Wall Street today. The Dow fell 154 points. The Nasdaq was up 145. This is NPR.
Support for NPR comes from ECMC Foundation, whose North Star is to eliminate equity gaps in post-secondary completion by 2040 so that underserved learners have greater opportunity for social and economic mobility. This is Kansas Public Radio. Rondo from Suite of Fanfares. That is the theme from Masterpiece Theater here on KPR with Gerard Schwartz on trumpet and the Philharmonia Virtuosi of New York. Happy second hour of Evening Classical. I am your dear old host, Destiny. I thought that was kind of nice. A Masterpiece Theater there for us. And in my head, that made me think of fairy tales. So at around 8:30, we are going to hear about a very, very special fairy tale. I'm excited for that. Well, last Friday was Live Day, and yours truly played a concert. It was great to meet so many of you. Thank you again for your support. One of you called me a schoolmaster for the way that I direct the students and the people around in a very positive way. I was actually very flattered. It's really a blessing to be able to make music for all of you. So we are going to listen to Haydn's Symphony No. 5 called The Schoolmaster right now on KPR. Let's see what you think of it. It's with Nicholas Ward and the Northern Chamber Orchestra. Enjoy. Haydn's Symphony No. 55 here on KPR, The Schoolmaster with Nicholas Ward and the Northern Chamber Orchestra. I do not know why it was nicknamed The Schoolmaster. I researched it because I was very curious, and Classic FM said that perhaps it could have been the second movement, which supposedly seemed like somebody wagging their finger and then falling in love, but then they said they don't buy it, so that was pretty useless. If any of you are Haydn experts out there, and know why it's called Schoolmaster, could you let me know? DestinyViolin.com, reach out to me, or the station, KansasPublicRadio.org. I need to figure this out. It's very curious. Something special coming right up, a fairy tale. But first, let me thank a couple of our great sponsors here on KPR, Assistive Technology for Kansans, providing people with disabilities and health conditions access to technology to live, work, and play independently. I think that is great. Information is at 1-800-CAN-DO-IT. That's CAN with a K, like Kansas. 1-800-CAN-DO-IT. And also the Noto Arts and Entertainment District of Topeka, inviting listeners for this spooky time of year to the Dia de los Muertos Festival. That'll be Friday, featuring the Celebration of Souls exhibit on loan from the Chicago Field Museum. Details at explorenoto.org. From the University of Kansas, it's your place to find NPR News, Kansas Public Radio. 91.5 Lawrence and 90.3 Chanute, online at kansaspublicradio.org. What is this fairy tale I've been talking about? Prokofiev's Cinderella Suite, indeed. Let's pretend we're living in a fairy tale, right now, on Kansas Public Radio, with Theodore Kuchar and the Ukrainian Symphony Orchestra.
Thank you.
Prokofiev's Cinderella Suite here on KPR with Kuchar conducting the Ukrainian State Symphony Orchestra. I'm Destiny. Thanks for being here with me. NPR News is up next and then Jazz in the Night, and I'm back tomorrow on KPR.
Hi, this is Steve Inskeep with NPR News. Any good news organization should bring you points of view that you agree with and points of view that you don't. Facts you approve and facts that make you uncomfortable. Our job is to bring you the full picture in context so you can decide. This is NPR.
This is Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, where KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, and KANQ Chanute. Listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio. Support for classical music on KPR comes from Delta Dental of Kansas, reminding listeners that dental checkups can help identify health conditions like heart disease, diabetes, and more. Dentists can be found at deltadentalks.com/find.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. 1 week from Election Day, Vice President Kamala Harris delivered the closing argument of her presidential campaign in Washington, D.C. tonight. As NPR's Tom Dreisbach reports, Harris spoke from the Ellipse, where Donald Trump rallied his supporters before the January 6 attack on the U.S. Capitol.
Harris suggested Trump was a petty tyrant and wannabe dictator, and said voters already know who he is.
He is the person who stood at this very spot nearly 4 years ago and sent an armed mob to the United States Capitol to overturn the will of the people in a free and fair election.
At a town hall earlier this month, Trump called January 6th a, quote, day of love. Throughout his campaign, he has promised to issue pardons to January 6th rioters. He calls them patriots and political prisoners. Tom Dreisbach, NPR News.
The U.S. says it rejects any effort by Israel to starve Palestinians in northern Gaza. The Biden administration also criticizing Israeli legislation that bans the U.N. agency aiding Palestinians. More from NPR's Michelle Kellerman.
At the U.N. Security Council, Ambassador Linda Thomas-Greenfield blames Hamas for setting in motion the, quote, unimaginable suffering in Gaza following the October 7, 2023 attack on Israel. A year later, though, she also blames Israel for failing to address a catastrophic humanitarian crisis.
The United States rejects any Israeli efforts to starve Palestinians in Jabalia or anywhere else.
And while she says some workers with UNRWA took part in the October 7th attack, she criticizes the Israeli parliament's vote to ban that UN agency. She says there's no alternative to delivering food and other life-saving aid to Gaza right now. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, the State Department.
Louisiana says it's investing in artificial intelligence in schools. Arbor Juhas, a member station WWNO, reports more than 100,000 students in the state are using an AI-powered reading tutor.
Tutoring is one of the most effective ways to catch kids up, but quality tutors are expensive and in short supply. Enter Amira, an AI-powered reading tutor. Louisiana is rolling out the tool in schools as part of the state's larger push to grow literacy.
Ready, set, start.
Students read with Amira, and when they get stuck, the technology uses artificial intelligence to try and figure out why. Then it runs through dozens of tested tutoring strategies and jumps in.
There are three sounds in this word.
Research on computer-based tutoring isn't clear, but there are a few independent studies that show Amira can help boost students' learning when the tool is used regularly. For NPR News, I'm Aubrey Juhas in New Orleans.
On Wall Street, the Dow fell 154 points. This is NPR. A longtime ally of former President Donald Trump, political strategist Steve Bannon is free from prison. Bannon released today after serving a four-month sentence for defying a subpoena in the congressional investigation into the U.S. Capitol attack January 6 of 2021. Bannon left the Federal Correctional Institution in Danbury, Connecticut this morning. Picking up his podcast, Bannon said he'll focus on helping Trump win back the presidency. A jury convicted Bannon of refusing to provide documents related to his involvement in Trump's efforts to overturn the 2020 election. A new federal estimate says more than 20% of the nation's population relies on groundwater that may be contaminated with toxic forever chemicals. Member station WCMU Teresa Holmesy has more.
As many as 95 million people could be drinking groundwater with detectable levels of PFAS. Andrea Tikhonov is one of the study's lead researchers at the USGS. She says the model is not meant to predict individual household contamination. Instead, it calculates the likelihood of PFAS in a region's groundwater based on several factors.
The only way to truly confirm if there is PFAS in the water supply is to actually test for it. We hope that this model is used to guide sampling for the future.
The federal government enacted protections against six PFAS chemicals in public water systems earlier this year. For NPR News, I'm Teresa Holmesey in Sheboygan, Michigan.
Crude oil futures prices fell further today amid continued signs of Mideast tensions ratcheting down. Oil had been creeping higher on concerns of a widening crisis there. Oil fell 17 cents a barrel to $67.21 a barrel. I'm Jack Spear, NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include FJC, a foundation of donor-advised funds, working to maximize the impact of charitable giving and to create customized philanthropic solutions. Learn more at fjc.org. Thank you.
Some Cook and Hammond B3 trio work from organist Pat Bianchi and his trio to start off tonight's Jazz in the Night. Mark Whitfield playing guitar, Byron Landham drums, and they played that great tune by Jimmy Heath called Gingerbread Boy, this album from 18 years back called East Coast Roots, Pat Bianchi. Good afternoon, I'm Bob McWilliams. Good afternoon, did I say that? Good evening, I'm Bob McWilliams. It's Jazz in the Night on Gadsden's Public Radio. In this next set, we're going to hear from a brand new album by vibraphonist Joe Bayonne. We'll start off with trombonist Steve Turay, an album that came out from him in 2016 called Colors for the Masters, and he's got some masters playing with him for sure. Kenny Barron at the piano, Ron Carter bass, Jimmy Cobb drums. And on this tune, special guest saxophonist Javon Jackson and Steve Turay's composition, Tailor Made, on KPR.
Thank you.
vibraphonist Joe Bayonne in his tune, The Chase. It's off his new album called Vibe Check, with trumpeter Dwayne Eubanks, pianist Tora Dodo, bassist Marco Pinnicchia, and drummer Jerome Jennings. Before that, trombonist Steve Ture from his album Colors for the Masters, with Kenny Barron, Ron Carter, and Jimmy Cobb, Masters Hall. And Javon Jackson, too, on tenor sax. Steve Ture's album Colors for the Masters from 2016. A song from the new album by singer Samara Joy is up next. And after that, we're going to be hearing from the new album by trumpeter Stan Kessler. Support for Jazz in the Night on KPR comes from Security Benefit, with philanthropic focus extending to over 100 organizations, helping those in need and focusing on education, health, and the arts. More info at securitybenefit.com. Here's Samara Joy on KPR.
Lonely winters are cold, no one to hold. I had you, but that's no more. Makes me stop and think, did I turn this romance upside down? Crown through the beat of my heart, I overlooked the part where this temporary bond began to fade. Tears soak my bed, dance across my head. A fool who's in love called a clown. It's been said that I care a bit too much, that's fair. But who says a mind can't dream? Through the night I ache, a flame keeps my mind from a song once in my thought, but now the lyrics rot and the harmony has gotten coarse and brown. Yet I still hum the tune, 'cause I'm the lost buffoon, a fool who's in love is called a clown. In my thought, but now the lyrics rot and the harmony has gotten coarse and brown. Yet I still hum the tune, 'cause I'm the lost buffoon, a fool who's in love is called a clown. Clown.
Samara Joy and A Fool in Love is called A Clam. I thought this must be one of the obscure songs in the past that Samara uncovered. But here on KPR, you just heard one written by her trombonist in her band. And that is Donovan Austin wrote that one. It's Samara Joy with a regular working octet and working as well with trumpeter and producer Brian Lynch on a masterful album. It's called Portrait, Samara Joy on Kansas Public Radio. She's just 24, folks, and I sure hope you got to see her last year at the Folly Theater. And in Kansas City, well, there's a bunch of albums coming out from Kansas City artists, and we're going to be hearing a couple of them by trumpeter Stan Kessler and pianist Tim Whitmer and his Good Time Quartet. We'll get to those in about 10 minutes. We're here, and we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, 91.5 Lawrence, 89.7 Emporia, online at kansaspublicradio.org. You know, every day when you listen to KPR, you hear the difference made possible by listeners like you. More than 84% of our operating budget comes from private support. It's a great time to invest in KPR and great music and news that matters. You can make a difference with your contribution. Do it now at support.kansaspublicradio.org. And thanks. Out of the Vinyl Vault, trumpeter Don Sickler, the LP is called The Music of Kenny Dorham, recorded in 1983. And it's Don Sickler's arrangement of the Kenny Dorham tune called The Fox here on KPR. trumpeter Don Sickler and his version of the Kenny Dorham tune called The Fox out of the Vinyl Vault, the LP on Uptown Records, recorded in 1983, called The Music of Kenny Dorham. And just a terrific album with Jimmy Heath playing tenor sax, Cedar Walton at the piano, Ron Carter and Billy Higgins bass and drums with trumpeter Don Sickler. Speaking of trumpeters, Kansas City Stan Kessler has a new album of trumpet and piano duets. We'll hear from that next and follow that up with a new one from Kansas City's Tim Whitmer and the Good Time Quartet. Support for Jazz in the Night on KPR comes from Cromwell Solar. Since 1982, installing automatic backup battery systems for uninterrupted power for residential homes and businesses. More information at cromwellsolar.com. The new Stan Kessler album, Stanton Kessler, is called Two's Company. It's duets with six different pianists in KC. This is one with the pianist Roger Wilder, tune going back to the first part of the 1960s by Duke Pearson. It's called Each Time I Think of You, here on KPR.
Thank you. Peter Martin. Archie's composition, why not? Yeah.
Kansas City double feature in that set. We just heard pianist Tim Whitmer and his Good Time Quartet and a piece by Tim, I believe, called Why Not? The album is called Tim Whitmer Good Time Quartet, double live at the Black Dolphin, a 2-CD set with saxophonist and flute player Michael Herrera II, bassist Chase McCoy, drummer Ray DeMarchi, the leader pianist Tim Whitmer. And there is a CD release performance celebration for this. It's Saturday night, November the 2nd, 6:30 to 9:30 at the Black Dolphin at 1813 Grand in Kansas City, celebrating the CD, new one from the Tim Whitmer Good Time Quartet. And before that, it was trumpeter Stan Kessler with pianist Roger Wilder, a Duke Pearson tune called Each Time I Think of You. It's from a new album called Two's Company by Stanton Kessler on the album cover, as he plays duets with six different pianists. And next hour, we'll hear more jazz from Kansas City. In fact, a brand new vinyl outing by OJT with Keith Jarrett, Gary Peacock, Jack DeJohnette up next here on KPR, where support for Jazz in the Night comes from Topeka Zoo, offering zoo memberships for individuals and families alike for unlimited admission to the zoo year-round. Details on the benefits of a Topeka Zoo membership at topekazoo.org. The so-called Keith Jarrett Standards Trio, Keith Piano, Gary Peacock, bass drummer Jack DeJohnette, and a Dizzy Gillespie tune called Groovin' High here on KPR. The applause in Paris in 1999 for pianist Keith Jarrett, bassist Gary Beacock, drummer Jack DeJohnette, Dizzy Gillespie piece Groovin' High, the double CD album called Whisper Not. More jazz in the night after the news. We're here and we are, Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Oldsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3, Listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio. Support for news on KPR comes from the Lead Center hosting comedian Lewis Black in Goodbye Yeller, Brick Road, the final tour Saturday, 7:30 p.m. Tickets at lead.ku.edu. Jazz New Orleans style from Bria Schoenberg and then Delphio Marsalis and the Uptown Jazz Orchestra. For you right after this news update here on Kansas Public Radio.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Shay Stevens. But the weeks ago before Election Day, Vice President Kamala Harris took to the stage on the National Mall in Washington tonight. Harris tried to make the case that she's the better choice than former President Donald Trump.
This election is more than just a choice between two parties and two different candidates. It is a choice about whether we have a country rooted in freedom for every American, or ruled by chaos and division.
Harris called Trump unstable and obsessed with revenge. Former President Trump campaigned tonight in Allentown, Pennsylvania. He is using words like love fest to describe his campaign rallies, but as NPR's Stephen Fowler reports, Trump's speeches are becoming more erratic and profane.
His rallies have been lower energy, seen more gaffes, and have often started hours late. He's always pushed the envelope of appropriate speech from a politician, but recently he's also become more vulgar in his anecdotes and attacks. Trump sounds more tired and occasionally even melancholy about what might come next.
What we've done, we got to win. If we don't win, it's like it was all for not very much. We can't let that happen.
At 78, Trump would be the oldest person elected president in the U.S. Stephen Fowler, NPR News, Atlanta.
U.S. air carriers are now required to give passengers cash refunds when flights are canceled or significantly delayed. Details from NPR's Joel Rose.
The Department of Transportation's new rule mandates that airlines must hand out refunds, not vouchers, even if passengers haven't explicitly asked for one. The refund rule applies to flights that are canceled and also to flights that are, quote, significantly changed if passengers choose not to accept the modified itinerary. In a statement, Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg said passengers deserve to get their money back when an airline owes them without headaches or haggling. The refund rule also applies to flights delayed more than 3 hours for domestic routes and 6 hours for international flights. Joel Rose, NPR News, Washington.
The Gaza Health Ministry says two Israeli airstrikes have killed at least 88 people in northern Gaza. The attack came as the Israeli parliament banned UNRWA. That's the UN agency that provides aid to Palestinian refugees. Israeli lawmakers also voted to limit UNRWA's operations in Gaza and in the West Bank, saying that some aid workers are linked to Hamas. The United Nations says that the Israeli government must continue to provide aid to Palestinians if the new restrictions are put in place. On Wall Street, stocks closed mixed today, with the Dow Jones Industrials losing 154 points, the Nasdaq Composite Index gained 145 points, and the S&P 500 added 9 points. This is NPR News. The man who attacked Paul Pelosi, the husband of former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, has been sentenced to life in prison without parole. David DePapp pleaded guilty to kidnapping, first-degree burglary, and false imprisonment of an elder. His attorney says there will be an appeal. 84-year-old Paul Pelosi suffered a fractured skull after being hit in the head with a hammer and other injuries during the October 2022 attack in his home in San Francisco. Veteran actress Terry Garr has died from complications of multiple sclerosis. She was 79 years old. As Jeff London reports, Garr was a fixture in Hollywood films from the 1970s through the 1990s and was often a guest on talk shows.
Terry Garr began her career as a dancer. Her mother was a Rockette, and she appeared in several Elvis Presley films. Mel Brooks hired her to play opposite Gene Wilder in Young Frankenstein, and a career of many comic and dramatic roles was launched. She was in Close Encounters of the Third Kind, Mr. Mom, and received an Oscar nomination for Tootsie.
I don't care about I Love You. I read The Second Sex. I read The Cinderella Complex. I'm responsible for my own orgasm. I don't care. I just don't like to be lied to.
Garr also hosted Saturday Night Live 3 times and appeared frequently on Johnny Carson's and David Letterman's late-night shows. In 1999, she was diagnosed with MS and became a spokesperson for research. For NPR News, I'm Jeff London in New York.
U.S. futures are higher in after-hours trading on Wall Street. On Asia-Pacific markets, shares are mixed. This is NPR.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the George Gund Foundation, working to make Cleveland more vibrant, sustainable, and just, and setting an example for the nation. More information available at gundfoundation.org. This is NPR.
Getting things going this hour on KPR's Jazz in the Night with some New Orleans music for you. We just heard Basin Street Blues, the new album by trombonist Delphio Marsalis and the Uptown Jazz Orchestra from New Orleans with special guest singer Tonya Boyd Cannon. Before that, trumpeter and singer Bria Schoenberg returning to New Orleans-style jazz, her first love on her new album, What It Means. She's the trumpeter and singer there on Comes Love. Here on KPR's Jazz in the Night, at about 7 minutes into the Vinyl Vault for a brand new addition to the Vinyl Vault. It's a brand new LP from Kansas City's OJT, so we'll get grooving with that in a little while. Right now, tenor saxophonist Illinois Jacquet in 1969, an album called The Blues That's Me, with Tiny Grimes playing guitar, Wynton Kelly, Buster Williams, Oliver Jackson, piano, bass, and drums. This is one popularized by singer Joe Williams. It's called Every Day I Have the Blues, Illinois Jacquet style on KPR.